Greetings, my friends. Today we'll conclude my little mini series here, Sex with the Devil. I trust that you've been from part one to part four and that this will be a natural progression. I'm gonna take it a little light today. As light as one can get with one of the heaviest topics that there could possibly be. Yes, that the demon worship is alive and well today, but it's being done in churches with people worshiping a false image of God, false image of Christ. The last time I spoke to you on this topic, I was reading A.E. Nock. I was reading a quote of his from the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Sorry, I just took a shower. My hair is really screwing with me here. So, I'm not that vain, but I am vain. I'm not saying I'm not vain. I'm a little bit vain. Now I'm going to quote to you from A.E. Nock in Concordance Studies in the Book of Daniel. And then I'm going to finish this series. I'm going to finish this with a piece of writing that is absolutely brilliant from another person you might know, a friend of mine, Dan Sheridan. It's an article titled, If I Were the Devil. It's not a stretch for Dan, you know, to put himself in the place of Satan. Great article. But for now, this is A.E. Nock. In the book, Concordant Studies in the Book of Daniel. This is what he says. In fact, many peoples of the earth live in constant, continual fear of the demons that haunt their existence. Yes. The specter of I'm not doing enough for God. The specter of God is going to become disappointed with me and I will never see him and I'm somehow failing him. This is a specter. This is a haunting thought many people have because they're not rooted and grounded in the truth of justification. Let me finish here. Many peoples of the earth live in continual fear of the demons. And where are they? They're in churches. They're hearing things about God that disquiet them. They're not hearing the truth. That's the irony of this whole thing. They make their lives a series of propitiations to the evil genii, plural of genie. I would think it would be genies, but no, it's genii, which seek to harm them. Yes, Satan seeks to harm you. He doesn't seek to give you peace. He doesn't seek to give you comfort and joy and happiness and relief and deliverance from worry and fear. No, he introduces you to these things. And many people live life fairly calmly, fairly simply, and then they're invaded by a Christian evangelist. And then they learn true fear. Then they learn that that if they don't choose Jesus, they'll go to hell for eternity. They were doing fine. I'm always feeling sorry for the victims of missionaries who go out and take people who are living in complete peace, complete happiness, and they ruin their lives by bringing them a horrible, scary God that they better worship or else. Yes, a series of propitiations. Yes, that's just it, especially in the Catholic Church, right? Constantly trying to appease God by saying certain prayers, saying the rosary. Christendom, however, is so deceived. Listen to this. Christendom is so deceived that it is blind to the powers that impel it. That's the whole point of this series. Like Eve in the garden, they are pleased with the prospect of being as gods and accept the leadership of the Spirit which promises to make man divine. Yes, to make man divine in himself, to make man complete in himself. This whole business of us offering Christ a gift of our faith and our lives. And this is the recipe for self-righteousness. This is another way that the demons need propitiated too. I hate demons, and I hate how they're disguised today. That's what really bothers me. And Christians accept the leadership of the Spirit which promises to make man divine. It should make us dreadfully afraid to learn that the leading religions of the world are satanic in their origin and end. This is what I've been telling you with this series. This is part five, Sex with the Devil. I say this because, of course, Christians are very intimate. They're having illicit relations with Satan. So in order to make it snappy, I just say sex with the devil. But it's completely scriptural. It's not hyperbole. This is what they're doing. And Nock confirms what I've been telling you here. It should make us dreadfully afraid to learn that the leading religions of the world, Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, and Christianity, are satanic in their origin and end. Those who know the great religions of the world firsthand realize how sorely they misrepresent God and alienate mankind from his heart. Yes, that is my beef. Misrepresentation of God. And people wonder why I get excited. Okay, what if somebody were telling lies about your earthly father, saying things completely untrue, like he's a murderer, he's a liar, he's a thief, he's a womanizer? You would rise and defend his honor, right? But if people trash God, well, no big deal. Well, I understand most people don't realize God is being trashed with the main teachings of Christianity, such as free will and eternal torment and the Trinity, but he is. They misrepresent God and alienate. The people who aren't sucked in by the seductive pull of Christianity, the promises to make everyone their own God, their own God. You decide where you will spend eternity. You decide if God is going to be kind and merciful today by the way you behave. Yes, anyone who falls, it's easy to fall into that. That's seduction, right? Those who aren't seduced into that club that actually puts that crap out, they, being still in their right minds, having not yet drunk the Kool-Aid, they're repelled from God by the presentation of the Christian religion. It is the effort of the alienated spirit world to turn man's worship away from God to Satan. I can't help but comment on every single sentence of this. The spiritual world has been alienated. The alienated spirit, they're pissed against God. They have a beef. They have a bone to pick with the deity. I don't know what their problem is exactly, but they see God as their enemy somehow. I don't know. I can't even put myself, it's hard for me to put myself into the place of an alienated spirit in the alienated spirit world. But they're trying to turn man's worship away from God to Satan. Naturally, this is what they want to do. They're troublemakers. And so they stir the pot. And they literally, listen, the spirit world literally gets together, just like human organizations do. The UN or the Council of Nicaea. The spirit world gets together and they plan things. They're called the teachings of demons. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. The teachings of demons. Where do these come from? They come from demons. From demons getting together. Wherever they get together, however they do it, they confer with one another, and they come up with these teachings that will turn humanity from God. So you have a lot of mankind in the religious world being duped by the demons and being useful tools to get out the false message, and then you have the rest of humanity being repulsed by that message, because the people who are disgusted with Christianity, who have been to churches and wonder, this is wrong, I don't like this, they're actually not worshiping demons. But the Christians would point to them, look at these people, they came to church once and they've never been back. Yeah, they got a brain in their head still. They're out there in bars and they're going to R-rated movies, and they're just worldly people. So the Christians would easily say that those people who don't come to our church, they have demons. But just like the Pharisees who accused our Lord of having a demon because he hung out with what they would call sinners, yeah, it's actually them that have the demons. Oh, the irony. Oh, the humanity. God is sorely misrepresented. They organize man into great religious bodies. This is what the alienated spirit world does to turn humanity away from God to Satan. The ones in church have been turned away from God to Satan. The ones outside of church have been turned away from the false God being presented by the people in the church. Did you follow that? Because I don't think I'll be able to repeat it. They organize man into great religious bodies, which become powerful and seem to... great religious bodies. Talk about great religious bodies. Islam, that's a great religious body. Christianity, a great religious body. These are organized by these spirits into great bodies. And what's the purpose? Which become powerful, yes, because they become melded with politics. When you see politics and religion mixing, it's a natural union, because religion is diabolical to begin with, so why wouldn't it seek a vehicle with which it could become more powerful in the world? Because the religion by itself would simply cause people to worship a false god. But if they can meld themselves with politics, then they can potentially affect laws, and they can eventually affect many more people's lives legislatively rather than simply religiously. And we know that this is just what will happen when the beast of Revelation, which is the world's system, becomes a host to the harlot, which is the apostate religious system. And they have an illicit union, and they take over the entire world, so that the beast, which is a political system, demands worship. How does that happen? When a beast demands worship, it's because these alienated spirits seek to take advantage of the political alignments of the world, and so they mate with them, and this will create the monstrosity at the end of this eon called the beast. It will demand fealty and worship. It will demand civil obedience, obey or else, and it will demand worship. You must say that we are God. You have no other gods before me, says the man of lawlessness. You can tell I'm never going to get through this article. I'm never going to get to Dan Sheridan's article today. That means we're going to have part six. I'm sorry, folks. I didn't plan on this. This is so good, though. It's so hideously good. They organize man into great religious bodies, which become powerful and seem to succeed in driving God out of the earth. Yes, why do I say that? Why is this true? Because it seems like there are so few people who believe the truth that it seems as though right now that religion has the upper hand. It's captured everybody. What Islam hasn't captured, Christianity has captured. What Christianity hasn't captured, Islam has captured. When I say Christianity, I'm talking about every branch. The Pentecostals, the Catholics, the Baptists, the non-denominational Joel Osteen type churches, the mega churches, the Church of Christ, Church of God, they're all in the same boat. No exceptions. And it's just so few then who really are left out of mankind who have not been called by Satan, organized by these particular demons that run each religion to become part of these four great institutions of humanity that all look for political power. We all know Islam, they're always wanting to take hold of the state. Yes, Hinduism is the only religion I know that doesn't really mess with political power. But Christianity, oh my goodness, yes, there's an alignment coming that will form the beast. Yes, they become so powerful, seem to succeed in driving God out of the earth, almost succeed in wiping its saints from its surface. This happens during the tribulation, because we're not in this. Don't worry. We, the saints in the body of Christ, will not be wiped from this earth's surface. We will be gently lifted from this earth's surface, gently but quickly, by a loving Savior, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will translate our bodies from mortality to immortality. We will rise to be with Him, and we won't have to be bothered by this ugly amalgamation of religion and politics known as the beast. I'm going to finish this article tomorrow. I can't help it. Every single line of this brilliant writing by A.E. Nock just triggers something in me that I need to tell you. And I will not end this series until I tell you everything I need to tell you. Thanks for watching.